From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios and Data Centers, it's time for TI Plus to come screaming at you through to interwebs. That sounded wrong. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. TI Plus is brought to you by the Weather Channel. When you're really, really bored and want to see how a slow-moving hurricane is coming up your way, there's only one place to turn for inane chatter, and that's the Weather Channel. Check them out on your local cable system on some number that's probably in the hundreds or thousands if you're looking in HD. Anyway, check them out, and you'll be amazed or something. Welcome to TI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the Weather Channel Free State of Arkansas, by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hey, what's going on?
You know, I feel compelled to say that we don't actually really have sponsors on the show, that we just make things up every time, only because through some freak of nature, if we ended up being nominated in the Best Produced Podcasting category, there will be new people listening to us now and going like, oh, they're sponsored by the Weather Channel. But we're not. We're not actually sponsored by the Weather Channel.
They've got the Weather Channel.
We're not sponsored by anyone. In fact, hello, welcome new listeners, unless, of course, we did not get nominated for Best Produced, in which case then, you know, fuck you guys.
Oh, that's being announced today, isn't it?
That's how we, it is, isn't it? Like it's six or something. I don't
know. Well, you know, I just assumed that we probably didn't get, so I wasn't even like looking to see if, I haven't even looked at that page.
9 p.m. Eastern time, they will be announcing this evening.
I think I'm going to be washing my hair.
Right.
At 9 p.m.
Right. We are streaming live on pride48.com, and we have a whole host of folks in the chat room that have joined us for this live extravaganza. So hello, chat room. How are you this evening? Let's see. We have DI Plus Fan. We have Good Humor Penguin. We have Mib, who is currently fixing his name. We have Q-Sledge, and we have SBA Matt. It's Robert. It's Robert is the Mib. So Robert, you type in /Nick/Robert.
Like your Robert?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Yeah. He said that he's in a hotel in, wherever he's at. Sacramento, did I say? Wherever his new job is.
Yeah. What? You don't know where he's at, or you don't know the fake place that you said? I don't know.
No, it's California. I always get the towns messed up. So he's in Sacramento. Is Sacramento the northern part? Because San Diego and Sacramento, I get confused in my head. So he's in Sacramento, which I believe isn't SBA Matt in Sacramento. I'll probably get that wrong too.
I don't know. I don't know where anyone is. I know where I am most of the time, but that's about it.
And he's flying out of there this weekend, well, this coming week. Thursday night, he gets in here Friday morning, and he'll be here Friday and Saturday, and then he leaves again on Sunday. So excellent. So next Sunday, by the time we do our show next Sunday, he will have left again.
So basically from now on, or at least while he's there, when we're recording the show, he will always be somewhere else.
Correct.
Not.
But, you know. Correct. But he was somewhere. He was on his way to somewhere else last show. Do you not pay attention to our own show? Anyway, it's not important. So, hi, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm actually, you know, we have something in common. Well, not in common, but
yes.
And I didn't put this in the Trello, but I wasn't even thinking about there being a storm in those there parts. And it's funny because anyway, Mark went on a trip to New York.
For those of you longtime listeners, that would be Mittens.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Mark went on a trip to New York this weekend.
Yes.
And so I was supposed to pick him up from the airport tomorrow. And
yes.
I get a text message from him this morning saying, hey, call me or text me when you wake up. So I did. And he messaged me back and he said, I am going to change my flight because there is a storm, the hurricane will be hitting or whatever it is tomorrow.
Right.
And I want to make sure I get home. So I'm going to fly out today instead. So he's all sad. He is actually, he boarded the plane about 30 minutes ago to come back.
He shouldn't be sad because like the subway system is shutting down tonight at 7. In fact, so the subway and the MTA, so the commuter trains and everything are all shutting down tonight at 7. And it's not just a hurricane. So what it is it's a hurricane that is running head on into a forming nor'easter. So what will happen here will be a hurricane wrapped inside of a nor'easter, which is basically just going to be a huge freaking storm for us. Not so much in rain, delivery or things like that, but we're going to get some freaky snow and sleet stuff happening over inland, like in Pennsylvania and the Juiel Bohucker area of the world. And then over here where we are, we're going to get a lot of coastal flooding. And of course, I live in New Haven, which is right on the coast, right on Long Island Sound. So we'll be getting a lot of flooding up in this area here. But basically, we're just going to have really crappy weather for the next week. So
is that kind of like a turducken or something?
It is. It's a hurricane. A hurricane wrapped in a nor'easter, wrapped in an enigma. It's a it's a turducken. It just in time for Thanksgiving. So everyone's just kind of going apeshit here. I as being the native Floridian, I of course am used to hurricanes and hurricane. And I wasn't really. If you want to see how paid professionals suck at vamping, watch the Weather Channel. Because here's the deal. A hurricane moves at 14 miles an hour. All right. Well, normal hurricanes move at about 30 miles an hour. This one is moving at 14 miles an hour. So it doesn't change a whole lot from hour to hour. It has moved 14 miles from where it was before. So, and for some reason, they feel compelled to go 24-hour coverage on these things, where you have the reporters out on the beach and the people back in the studio and stuff, all saying the exact same things, because the only people that actually know real information, real actual measurements from the storm, is the National Hurricane Center, that sends planes into the center of the hurricane, and they do that once every 6 hours. So the information only gets updated once every 6 hours. But for the remaining time, the remaining 6 hours of television time, it's a bunch of people vamping, just going on and on and on about things, trying to say the exact same thing 100 different ways without sounding like they're saying the exact same thing 100 different ways.
Is it kind of like the scene in the Austin, like the first Austin Powers
movie? It is,
movie,
yes.
Where there's that thing, yes, rolling towards him, and they keep cutting back to him, and he goes, no!
Yes. Yes, that is exactly what it is.
So they have someone
exactly what it is like.
Look, standing on the beach, looking out, you know, towards.
Oh, no. It's worse than that. And I think I brought this up on another podcast, but not this podcast before. But hey, here's those guys that are standing on the beach in the middle of the water and the rain and the wind and stuff, and then they give you information, right? Yeah. Well, the barometric pressure has just dropped and blah, blah, blah. You know, they didn't get that information out there, right? They are in a hotel room right behind the camera that they go in on their laptops and stuff and get the actual information and then walk back out into the rain to tell it to us. It's just
and,
like,
you know, I was just
speaking to the mayor and he is closing down the street. It's like, right, the mayor is there on the beach with you,
right,
in the rain.
I think those people, those particular newscasters, are kind of like the red shirt people on a Star, right, Trek, you know, episode or whatever, the ones that they don't care about. So they,
yes,
you know, they're like, hey, you go out and do that. We did have a comment in the chat room. A listener is wanting to know, I believe it was Robert actually, was wanting, mm-hmm, to know if you have taught the cats how to swim.
I have not. However, even though I am technically in a flood zone, I'm on the fourth floor. So it would take quite a flood to make it up the fourth floor. The thing that will happen almost certainly is I will lose power for an extended period of time, because my power company has coastal or shoreline substations, and they are going to de-energize them, as I was told by a gentleman standing out in the rain.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
so they will be de-energizing them if the floodwaters reach them, so that they do not damage themselves. And then when the waters recede, they will re-energize. So I will probably be without power for a good period. But again, it's moving at 14 miles an hour. It's not even expected to hit us in any kind of way until about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And then it's going to slowly deteriorate all day. It's not going to make landfall in New Jersey until tomorrow evening. So it's a 14-mile-an-hour storm.
Have you been battening down the hatches? Did you board things up? Did you go to Home Depot and get plastic rolls?
No.
Well, what do you do?
No, I did not do any of that. I cooked 2 pounds of hamburger meat and put taco seasoning in them, and I bought a big thing of the lettuce and stuff. So should I lose power, I will have salads that I could eat, like taco salads that I could eat. I have plenty of canned food, so I have Spam. I have plenty of canned olives. I have almonds.
Well, because that's what you always think of in a hurricane situation is, do I have enough canned olives?
Right.
I know that's what I always think. I mean, you might have an emergency olive situation. Right. What is that? Was that in case you need a dry martini or something like that?
No, no. These are black olives, or as we like to call them here on this show, Joe and Dallas. I have the olives. I have Spam. I have peanut butter. Lots of jars of peanut butter. I will not starve is what I'm trying to say.
Ew. Olives and peanut butter and those ground are delicious. Beef with taco seasoning.
Delicious. You take some of the taco and this, you know, we're the only show out there that I know of that gives a recipe of the show. So I just want to give this recipe. It's the taco meat, olive and peanut butter, scrumptious balls. They're delicious. I have bacon, plenty of bacon that's been cooked. Let's see. I have a smoked sausage. So I'm good. I'm set. I've got a 12 pack of Diet Coke. I got two liter bottles of Diet Dr. Pepper.
I was going to say one 12 pack would not last me very long. So I don't know if I would be set if all I had was a 12 pack, but.
Well, that's, you know, I don't like to drink warm sodas or whatever. I have pitchers that I filled pitchers with water and they're in the fridge. So I do have pitchers of water to drink. Let's just put it this way. If I lose power for more than 24 hours, I'm not staying here. I'm getting in my car and I'm driving somewhere where there is power. I will buy food at some other place. I'm not going to stay here.
Unless
if
it's flooded and you can't drive anywhere, and then you would need a boat to actually row to the nearest restaurant.
I will call Steven, who lives up on higher ground, and have him come in and pull me out or something.
I can only see the news reports, you know, Daniel on top of the roof, you know,
right.
Steven coming up in a rowboat or something and
right.
with spaghetti on top of his head, only because that's
right.
his religion, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So he comes up, he throws a rope over to you and drags you into the boat.
Right. Now, there's actual serious questions being asked in the chat room. So I don't actually know our elevation, but I do know this. I don't think I'm in a flood zone. Between me and the ocean, which is not that far, and when I say ocean, I mean Long Island Sound. So between me and Long Island Sound is maybe a half mile. But between there and here, there's the metro system, the Metric Transit Authority, the commuter trains, which are below the street level. So they would have to fill up and stop and then come over to me. So I think I'm good. I think where we're at is high enough that we're not in any danger of flooding.
Is that a technical term? You're not in a flood zone?
Right. I'm not in a flooding flood zone.
Okay.
Well, all right. There's different kinds of flood zones because there's not going to be a lot of rainwater with this. If we were talking purely rainwater, I don't know. Maybe these streets do flood. I don't know what the drainage situation is. I haven't been here in a torrential rain yet. However, as far as coastal flooding goes, we are not in a coastal flood zone. How's that? That cleared up for you?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. So, and as I mentioned before, we're on the fourth floor. So the apartment is on the fourth floor. The parking, both cars are parked on the second floor of the parking garage. So it would take a buttload of water before anything happened to us.
You know what I think you should really do is you should take your recording equipment and you should go out to the coast.
Right. Yes.
You should go out to the coast and then we mm-hmm. could cut back to you
right.
every few minutes so that you could tell us
right.
what's going on there.
As you can see now, Adam, the winds have picked up just a little bit.
Yes.
I just spoke to the mayor. He's right over there. We've become two old men talking about the weather now, haven't we? Yeah. And what
so.
A great show. What a great start to a show for those new listeners who might have seen us in the best produced podcast category.
We're not going to be in it.
But you know what you're going to say? What are you going to say? Right. We can sit here and go, you know, welcome new people in the, you know, have joined us from the best produced podcast category. Welcome to our show. We could say that. Knowing that we're not going to actually be nominated. But that way, if we are nominated, you know, then we are welcoming the new folks. If we're not nominated, which is what we believe, that we won't actually be nominated, well, our listeners already know that we're a piece of crap anyway. So, I mean,
well,
so we're not losing anyone for it.
Okay, okay. Well, in case we did get nominated, welcome.
Mm-hmm. By the way, RT Cruiser has just logged in here to listen. Isn't it like 2 a.m. or 4 a.m. or something in Australia?
I don't know what time it is there, but how dare you?
How
he
dare you,
in to
R.C.
see if
Cruiser.
There was any content, and of course there wasn't.
There's no content here. What we just gave a fascinating talk about
You know, the beginning of the show, for those of you hecklers out there, is about our lives. And, you know, to have something interesting to say every week, you know, is a challenge sometimes.
Yeah, we're not really that interesting. All right. So, Adam, how's your week been, Adam?
Well, that's the thing. Nothing really has gone up. My car is in the shop.
Yes.
And I did want to, because you all know that I got in that accident and there was a whole drama. My bumper got ripped off and I was waiting on a liability decision. And no one really ever told me that they accepted liability. I just got a check in the mail. That was it. So I assume they must have accepted liability. So I scheduled everything and I took my car in and I got a rental car. And I never knew how nice a car besides mine could be. I mean, so I got upgraded to a standard instead of the little, I usually get the little tin can cheapest car that they possibly have, and they were out of those. And so they upgraded me. And I know you guys are going to laugh because this is not a fancy car or anything, but I got a Nissan Altima. Silver. Yeah.
Well, but I'm sorry. It's really cool.
Because it has keyless start.
Yes.
And it has these little buttons on the handles where as long as you have the remote, the little dongle in your pocket, you can actually unlock, you can just punch the button on the handle and it unlocks the car. You never have to pull this thing out of your pocket. You don't have to pull it out of your pocket to start it.
Yes.
You don't have to pull it out of the pocket to unlock it. It's great.
I have that for Joe in Dallas.
Do you? I love that. So I was telling my stepfather, I was like, okay, I've got a great idea. After I saw this, because I was so impressed with this and I knew it existed, but I didn't know it was such a widespread thing to have this keyless start and everything.
Yes.
And I did some research on Google. They sell that as a kit. So instead of buying another car, I can just cut a hole in my dash and put a button in there or something. I don't know how you do it. Maybe you actually pull the... I don't know if you pull the part out that accepts the key and put a button in there, or I don't know.
Mine came with it, so I don't know.
And I told him, and he's so like,
"Now we're channeling Click and Clack from PBS here." So yes, and car questions here. Let's take some phone calls.
So Q Sledge in the chat room says, "Do not do it yourself." And I will go to a reputable. I'll go to Carphone Warehouse or someplace like that where they can do it. But the kit's only about $500 to do that. And my stepfather turned to me and he said, "You're going to do that before you get the car repainted?" Or because I have a big keying mark all the way down. I'm like, yeah, I want some technology.
If everyone had keyless cars, we wouldn't have keyed cars anymore.
Right, exactly.
No, it was weird because when I drove Robert to the airport last weekend, we took his car. And so he handed me the keys to his car and I get into, and because we have the same car, right? We both have Ford Focuses. And so I sit down in his car and I'm like pushing around on the dash for the button. And it's just like, oh, it's a key. Oh, I have to turn the key. Oh, that's weird.
So, it's nice. But the only thing you have to remember is you have to have your foot on the brake.
Yes.
Well, at least in mine to start it. So
that is pretty typical.
Yeah. And the other thing is don't try to put it in reverse too quickly. Right.
It's the most annoying thing to me, which is if this is the most annoying thing, then I live a truly charmed life. But so I have my keys are in my pocket, so I don't have to touch my, when I walk over to my car and I put my hand on the door, it opens. And, I get in the car, I push the button, it starts, right? I get out of the car, I walk away, it locks. So I don't ever deal with that stuff. And then when I get here to the apartment, I have a key card in my pocket, right? So I use the key card that opens the door that I get in. When I'm at the office, I use a key card that gets me in and whatnot. So and then when I get to my apartment, I have to pull out a fucking key and stick it in the thing.
It's like,
God damn it. Why can't just that one last little thing there? Why can't I have a thumbprint or something there for the door?
They do. If you really, but you, I know you live in an apartment, so it wouldn't be, no. I don't know. They wouldn't let you do it, but they sell doors.
We did. You know what? We did. We bought Anne, the naughty bed monkey prior heard on this show. We bought her a keyless entry thing like that in South Carolina.
Keep locking herself in or out or something with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that and the other thing technology I want for my house is the little thermostat thing that is like wireless. Like you can get an app for your phone and you can set it from far away. It has a camera in it so it can tell if there's anybody there. And then it can adjust it learns what temperatures you like and it sets it automatically. I forget what it's called. I want one of those
now,
as well.
I noticed that you, your background here, for those of you watching on video, your background here is one of the Google data centers. I know this because I like that picture too. I'm using that as my Maya.
Well, I wanted to prepare for the storm, so I actually set up in the Google data center because I figured that would be the safest place. I'll have power. They'll keep me cool.
Whenever you use a Google product, you're connecting to one of our data centers around the world.
That's right.
Let's take a look inside and
let's
see how
they work.
Let's
do that. Cool. They've got a car.
Google employees work here,
right,
keeping the data center up and running 24 hours a day.
Ooh.
The networking room is the first stop on our data center floor. The equipment here routes requests.
That is interesting for me to look at, but it's probably really, really boring.
I was going to say, I mean, you're like sitting there looking at the screen. All those audio listeners, even the video listeners are like staring at you looking at your screen.
I know. So if you go to maps.google.com, right, and you type in Google Data Center, I believe. So this is all available on Street View. So Google Data Center, and then it'll come up with a list of them. So I was looking at the one in Lenoir, North Carolina. And you can actually zoom down into it. And once you get to the Street View level of zooming down, you can take a tour of the data center via Street View. So you can go into the data center in Street View. Isn't that cool?
It's very cool. I haven't done that. I just saw pictures so far, but I haven't watched the video or anything like that.
I'm pulling up to the guard gate now. I don't know if they're going to let me in or not.
Well,
anyway, so it's a really cool. So for those of you not watching the video, none of this makes any sense. But Adam has a new picture.
Even for those of you watching the video, none of it makes any sense.
Right.
So yes, I have my background is somewhere in the Google data centers.
It's
between some computers.
Yeah, you're between two rows of servers. So you've got servers on either side of you there.
And I have lovely green lights.
You have. And do you realize how hot that would be if you were there right now? Because each one of those little servers pumping out hot air, and that's why they put them in those corridors like that, is to pull the hot air out.
So I am sweating like
you
a
would
motherfucker.
Be in
a,
you know, like in
you.
A right, you'd be in a desert like wind there.
How difficult it would be, or how difficult it is right now for the noise removal that I'm having to do, the noise gating, so you're not hearing. You know,
right.
I mean, it's amazing,
it's amazing
how
amazing.
I set all this up.
Right. Excellent. So thank you so much for that information about rental cars. So before we talk about the presidential campaign and debates that I know you're just dying to talk about, I wanted to update folks a little bit. My dad's still in the hospital. A lot of people have asked. And by a lot of people, I mean, you know, Gene and some other people. The rest of you people, you don't care. But anyway, he's still in the hospital. And apparently he is being stubborn.
Well, if he's anything like you, which I would imagine since he's your father, you're probably like him.
Yes.
I can only imagine how stubborn he might be being.
So he needs to walk. And if he's not, because if he doesn't walk, they can't release him. So he needs to be walking. And there's no physical reason that he's not walking other than the fact that he doesn't want to walk. So now the family is there trying to force him to walk. So that's fun. So they're trying to force him to walk so that he can go back home. And now I guess mom doesn't think she can take care of him by herself. Dad is adamant about not wanting to go into a nursing home. So now my entire family all lives within like a half hour, not a half hour, but within like a mile or two of where they live in Plant City. So I guess the siblings are now going to trade off spending the night over there to take care of Dad. So,
you know, if they really wanted him to walk, they could just push him out of the bed. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Again, I'm hearing all this from my brother, who tends to be a tad on the histrionic side. That would be my oldest brother, Rodney, who tends to be on a tad on the histrionic side. So I don't know. I haven't. I think what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to send Dad a tablet, like one of those new Nexus 7. They canceled the Google announcement for Monday, but it was widely anticipated that they were going to upgrade their Nexus 7 line so that the $199 version will actually be a 64 gig. And if they drop the smaller, the 8 gigabyte down to like $99, I will buy him a tablet just so that I can do a Google Hangout with Dad. So, because he can do that on his tablet, so that
right.
way I could see him instead of.
So, do you think you can convince him to walk via Hangout? Is that what you're saying?
No. My point is that when you try the sound quality on a Google Hangout is a lot better than a phone. And right now, when you try to talk to him on a phone, you're going from cell phone to landline, and he's like he's having problems understanding things. So he's like, and you can't see his face to see if he just didn't understand you or if he didn't hear you. And so you're inverse. As I said on the last show, the conversations tend to be a lot of what, huh, huh, what, huh. So I wanted to, you know, for $99, I could get him a tablet that we could talk video.
I understand that, not understanding someone, because He is with a friend of his, or he was with a friend of his this weekend from the Philippines. So I assume they probably spoke their language like for the past 3 days. And I talked
their language.
To him.
Is this kind of like the script for Pride 48 where it just had DeBell in her own language?
Well, I hate saying it's either you can say Filipino, it's really Tagalog, but I hate saying that because for some reason it sounds weird coming out of my mouth. But anyway, I talked to him on the phone this morning and every other thing, like every other word that he would say, I couldn't understand what he was saying. And he's only been with this other friend for a couple of days. So he's like, his accent has gone from like,
he is reacclimated.
It's like I couldn't understand him. So
it's kind of like me when I get around my family and I start sounding really Southern.
Probably, but I would understand you even better then if you sounded more Southern. I mean, not that I don't understand.
Well, it would be a perfect time to sound Southern because George in Atlanta just came into the chat room. So,
hey, George.
No, I'm sorry. He left the chat room. Never mind. Screw you, George. I don't know what it is. A lot more people have joined us in the chat room. Hi, chat room. We don't have a point. There you go. Dad's in the hospital.
You know what? We should go back and cover the weather because they weren't here
when we
covered it before.
That's right. Let's go check in to our man on the scene right now who's down on the shoreline. It's Bob Beckleforth. Bob, how's things down there on the shoreline? They're exactly the same as they were 10 minutes ago. They're down and out. So there you go.
Right. Exactly. I'm locked in here, so I can't tell any. No windows.
Right.
So I'm not political at all.
I was done, but now the chat room is making fun of Plant City. You know what? Plant City, I was born and raised in Plant City, and I'm gonna just say this right now, chat room. You're the first person to ever make a joke about the name Plant City. No, really, you were that original that no one has ever in the history of my life ever made a joke about the words about the town named Plant City. It was named after Henry B. Plant, the big railroad tycoon that set up all the railroads on the East Coast. He was basically, we're a big railroad town. That's what we started off at. So there you go. Plant City. Has nothing to do with our greenery. Has nothing to do with the, yeah, okay.
All right. So
I'm sorry. Please go ahead. So yes, you are not a political person.
I am not political, but I felt that it was my civic duty.
Your civic duty.
To watch the debate.
You said duty.
Yes, I did say duty. Duty. Yes. It was my civic duty. And Mark.
So what was it? What was your favorite?
Debates
what was your...
on as well.
So which debate did you watch?
I watched all three of
all
the presidential
three
debate. Wait, there were three
the
presidentials and one VP, right?
You're asking me or you're telling me?
I think there were three presidentials. They all
do you know,
are,
do you know the names of the space shuttles?
Blur. They are all a blur. I'm not even going to say anything about their points.
Right.
And if you want to, by all means, go ahead. But what drives me? I do not like conflict.
You do not like conflict.
I do not like conflict. Sorry. And it's just arguing back and forth. And not only were they arguing with each other, no, Mitt, that was wrong. And giving each other these looks of hatred, like darts going out of their eyeballs at each other, especially Mitt Romney. He looks so hateful when he's looking at President Obama. Anyway, that, and then they're fucking arguing with the person who's like, what's it called?
The moderator.
Moderator. They're like, yes. No. I was the first one on the last one and the next one and the I need five. And then they ask him a question and it was like the one on foreign policy. So how do you feel about...
Just the one. Just the one on foreign policy.
But
out of three debates, the one
for
question.
For example,
yes.
One of the ones on foreign policy. And she's like, no, it was he. It was the guy on the foreign policy. Anyway, he's asking something about Iran or Iraq or something like that. And either one of them, they would go, yeah, you know, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. But I would like to go back to education in America or something, you know, totally take it off of the, it was just, they were all train wrecks.
That's what you do in a debate like that. In a debate like that, if you're a politician in a debate, you get a question that you don't want to answer, then you answer a different question.
Right.
If you can't answer a different question, then you attack your opponent. That's what you do. But keep in mind that debates are useless. They're fun to watch. I enjoyed watching them because I follow politics.
It's not like there's a horde of
people out there that haven't made up their mind about who they're going to vote for, and that they're sitting there waiting. And I'm just going to wait until I hear his position on that how he stands about the Iran's nuclear program. I'm not going to make a decision until I hear both sides reasonably talk about that. It's the people who are undecided right now are not going to vote. Can we just get that whole concept out of our head right now? This whole like, oh, the undecided voters could still swing this thing. Those people aren't going to vote. They're not going to go show up at the poll and vote. The people that are going to show up in the poll and vote have made their decision a long time ago. So this is really nothing more than a dog and pony show.
And if I hear one more thing about freaking Mitt Romney's 5-point plan, I don't think he's given one single dadgum point out of that. But
I got a 5-point plan.
I don't want to hear. And then every other thing out of his mouth was, well, back when I was the governor of I don't care when you were the governor of massive fucking Tucson.
Wait. I thought you didn't get political.
I don't, but I was trying again, my civic duty.
I hope no matter how you're going to vote, I hope you do go in and avail yourself of your civic responsibility to vote. Provided the show makes it out before the voting day. However, Q Sledge in the chat room over here says, I already voted. Thank you. And that brings up a good point, which is a lot of states have early voting. A lot of states voting was already underway by the time that the debates rolled around. So it's like you're not going to really be swaying people because they've already voted.
There was one more thing. So that drove me nuts.
No, I was just going to. Never mind that. We don't need to talk about it. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know you weren't finished.
I was going to make a point, but you know, it'll take us down a political hole and you don't follow politics. So it would really, I could say anything and you would have to agree with me because you don't follow it.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm going to say one more thing.
So I have no one to keep me honest. So
if you
want to
go down a rat hole in the chat room can keep you honest, fine. But I really couldn't tell you. But I made the mistake. Ladies and gentlemen, do not, if you haven't already, if you have, I feel for you. Don't go to either one of their web pages and give them your email address.
Oh, my God.
Don't.
Why?
Well, because I was trying to find out if I had signed up to vote, if I had registered to vote yet. And someone said you can go to Barack Obama's web page and it will tell you if you're registered. Well, as part of that process, they're sneaky and they ask for your email address, I suppose. And so I was going through all the pages, clicking around, and I filled out some stuff, and they were going to tell me whether I had registered or not. After that, I have gotten, I'm not even kidding, like between five and 10 emails every day.
Yes.
From Barack Obama, from Michelle Obama, from Maya Angelou, from Anne Marie Habersham. I don't know who that is.
Yes.
From Joe Biden. Now I'm getting all these emails going, as of last week, Mitt Romney and the Republicans had $45 million more to spend than our side. Please go and donate $5.
Yes.
We're losing because you're not donating $5. You know, whatever. It's like, I'm getting.
By the way, the new Pride 48 site is going to be exactly like that. If you give us your email address, we are going to send out emails from Auntie Vera Charles, from Big Fatty. We're going to send out just like a constant stream of emails from us. We need $5 more, just $5 more before we can.
Really? My $5 and you're going to win the election if you get my $5. And why is Maya Angelou sending me an email telling me I need to, where's Oprah? Why isn't Oprah sending me an email, you know? Look what's under your seat.
You know, it's one of those things that, I have never signed up for their email address. I've been on their Twitter thing, but I've never.
Well, I didn't know I was signing up to receive them.
Can you not unsubscribe from the email list down at the bottom? If not, I would just set up a filter in Gmail and just have them delete it.
Probably. I probably can, but, you know, I didn't even, I just delete them. But it, anyway, there you go.
Excellent. Well, that was exciting. That was exciting and topical. Have you voted yet?
No, I don't know how to early vote, and I think I'm registered. I'm not even sure. I think I'm registered, and I'm assuming I'm going to go to some church or civic center or something. But I don't know how to do the early voting. So no, I have not.
So what you would want to do is you would want to go to sos.arkansas.gov. Which is the Secretary of State's website for Arkansas. And you would want to there go through and make sure that you are registered to vote. So let's see. There is an early voting is available in Arkansas. In your case, 7 or 15 days prior to the election day. It's done at the county clerk's office. So you would always be able to do it at the county clerk's office during business hours if you wanted to early vote. If your county has a different offsite early voting location, it would be printed in the local newspapers. So oh. Make sure you check those.
Why don't they? I just want them to make it so that I can go to some website and click a couple of check boxes, and that's who I voted for. And I understand that could be hacked, and that's why they don't do it. But that's what I want. But you know what? I have got the perfect. This will solve it. You ready?
I'm sitting down.
All right. I don't care. You're gonna say, "Is that the death phone?" Hello.
No, this is a call from my boss at work, which I'm going to assume is we're not going to open the office tomorrow. So.
So
I'll let it go to voicemail.
I think that what they should start doing is they should just put pictures of both candidates up on Facebook and Google Plus.
Yes.
And then you should just click the like button for which one just, that you like.
Right.
And the one that gets the majority of the likes is the winner.
Right. That would be Ron Paul.
there's the answer.
He wins
right
every. Right. So welcome, President Paul. Now it's ringing again. Just go leave a message.
Maybe there's an emergency.
A work emergency? Work for a life insurance company. Can you tell me what possible emergency that there would be?
Hey, you know, this is totally off topic, but when there are hurricanes and stuff like that, does a life insurance company suspend taking new policies? Or do you even know that? Like insurance, if there's a major hailstorm or something like that in an area, they will put a freeze on new policies in that area while that weather is going on, so they don't get any people calling in at the last minute getting coverage for hail damage and things of that nature. The same would be true for flooding and things of that. And so I was just wondering if a life insurance company, you know, might not take policies if they must need you.
Please stand by.
Hello, you're on the air, caller. What's so awkward during sex? So Robert in the chat room is saying, yes, there is. But I was wondering, like, for life insurance, if it was the same thing. Are you saying, yes, there is for life insurance as well? I think I might die in this storm, so I'm going to take out a life insurance policy today. Ah. So how's everyone doing in the chat room? I hate talking without a co-host. And since there's a 7-second delay, all of you guys are... Anyway, I know I was passionate about the whole debate thing, but literally, I was sitting there watching and wanting to change the channel all at the same time. I just kept going, fuck these people. I don't want to vote for either one of them. They're acting like children. They wouldn't let the moderator speak. Do I have to pay for talking to you? Right. Yes, you do. No, normally you'd have to pay for me if I was talking dirty. And I'm not talking dirty right now. I don't rant about... I don't rant about political debates.
Jesus.
Were they telling you the office is not open tomorrow?
Well, we're open, but we're not open.
Oh, okay.
We're working from home tomorrow.
Oh,
which
I'd
pretty much already, I had already planned on that anyway. So I lived the furthest away. So there was no way I was going to drive in tomorrow anyway.
Oh, okay. So I don't know what we were talking about. Anyway,
I give up.
Matter.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. Does anyone really know what we ever are talking about?
No. I don't think I have to text something here. This is really great. You're going to have to edit all this out. This will be fun.
Oh, now you know, we're texting. Now we're texting.
We don't want to confuse any of our new listeners since we've been nominated as one of the best produced podcasts.
Right.
So I just Brian's number. There you go. I'm texting him Brian's number.
All right.
All right. Excellent. Where were we?
You know,
we
have had a particular topic in the discussion topics for about a month now.
Now,
did you decide that we were not going to talk about that? Or did you, it doesn't seem appropriate every week?
You know, it's just one of those that we take up this much time. We're already like 43 minutes in and I'm just like, not to beat a dead horse or whatever. No, that's not even the right phrase. I just made a whole bunch of noise. Let me start that again. To quote Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone, nothing is more exciting than listening to people talk about television on a podcast.
You're the one that put it in
no,
there.
No, I say we don't because you know what? We do have something to talk about in the technology segment.
All right.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it.
DI Plus technology segment brought to you by Gravitas. If it's got glitter, it's Gravitas. I don't even know what that means. You know, again, for all the new listeners, all the hordes of new listeners, we don't actually have a sponsor.
You know what? I met Gravitas at Pride 48, and he not once did I see him wearing glitter.
Well, that's just because you weren't looking in the right place.
Well, Gravitas, you need to show me what places those are that have glitter on them, because I didn't see it last time.
You should have gone out to a nightclub. If you had you gone out to a night, so I was told. I didn't go to a nightclub, as you know. But yeah, Gravitas wears glitter at the nightclubs.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen him in glitter either. Wait, no, there might have been a Gay Days. I think the first Gay Days we saw him, he was in glitter.
Well, I wear some bronzer to make me look more tan.
It has some glitter in it. Right.
But I didn't even know there was glitter in it until Mark kept asking me, why are you wearing glitters on your face? He always says glitters. I don't know. Anyway. So every time I put on the bronzer, why are you wearing glitters?
Now, you know, I don't want to talk about this in the tech segment. So this is our world famous tech segment here.
Right,
and I just want to tell you, this past week, if you were a nerd, this past week was like boner central for you. And I speak as a nerd. This was a great week for tech stuff. We had on Tuesday, we had the Apple announcement. On Thursday, we had the Microsoft event for the Friday launch of the Microsoft products. And then this coming Monday, we were going to have an announcement from Google, but now that has been postponed due to the hurricane. So, but there is yet another announcement being made on this coming week by Microsoft. Oh, the Windows Phone 8 is going
to
be released
tomorrow.
This coming week. Yeah.
That's Monday.
So in all of that stuff, let's talk about some of the exciting things that were out there. And if I'm going to talk about exciting things, of course, we cannot talk about the iPad mini because that was just not exciting.
I did not think that I was bad when it came to being bitchy about Apple, but apparently I am. So I cannot talk about that sort of thing.
See.
Because people,
you know, they came out with a new 7-inch tablet that is 7.9 inches, which, you know, it doesn't matter that that's more than 7 inches because it's Apple. And if they say it's a 7-inch tablet, then goddamn it, 7.9 is the new measure of 7. So they came out with the new Apple. No, it's, you know what? It's fine. It's the iPad. It was great. I think the iPad mini announcement and quite honestly, I think the Google announcement are going to pale in comparison to the Windows 8 announcement that came out on Friday.
You know,
and in fact, that
saddens me.
What is it?
Because everyone thinks that Windows is so like yesterday. So no one is paying attention to Windows anymore.
Oh, I disagree. Absolutely disagree. You know what? In the world of tech blogging and in the world of tech, you know, people that pontificate about it, you get the Apple vocal people and you get the Android vocal people because everyone loves their cell phones, whatever. But basically, when you're talking about personal computers, there's only two choices. You're either an Apple person or you're a PC person. And regardless of how many iPhone users there are out there, the PC market, you know, trounces everything else. The Microsoft Windows is the most widely used operating system in the world. In both personal, where Apple also has a foothold, but in business, where Apple has virtually no foothold. It's like 99% of the business market is Windows. And, you know, a lot of people are bitching about the loss of the start bar and loss of, you know, those kind of things. But here's my thing. 20 years ago, we said, oh, DOS is too complicated. And, you know, fortunately, 20 years from now, these kids that are growing up now will all be computer savvy and they'll know how to use that stuff and it'll be second nature to them. And so, you know what? That never happened. We are now 20 years later and people are still stupid. People still can't, you know, they don't know how their computer works. They just want to sit down and push some buttons and make things work. And I think Windows 8 is the first time that they finally, you know, grasped that concept and said, you know what? Fine. Then let's just remove. I know that there's technical people out there that love that shit, but let's now, you know, consolidate this back down to, you know, people that want to use their Microsoft Word and people that want to use their Microsoft Excel. And they don't really give a shit about the underlying stuff. I think Windows 8, you know, the people that don't like it tend to be tech people.
Well, I like it. I think it's nice looking. And I have not. One thing that I want to do is I have a computer hooked up to my television. And I think the larger icons on there and that screen will look really good on the TV. Like if I have kind of a media computer that I do some surfing on it, but it's on the TV. And so, and they even have a new video app, and it's kind of metro-y looking, you know, newer looking. And I think all that'll look very nice on my television. So I'm going to put it there. The other thing is, you know, other than it being just nicer looking, it just consolidates your Windows Phone experience, your tablet experience, and your desktop experience all into one look. So if you have someone that likes one thing, it lets them go to this other device and know how to use it. It does not, like the RT tablet, you cannot install desktop apps.
You know, but you can install Metro apps. And you know, that's exciting for developers like myself, which is I can now write. So I went and I was like, I wanted to see if there's any podcasting apps up on the Metro stuff last night. And they're really not. There's some, they suck. And so I was like, oh, this is a good opportunity for me to play around with some development. I'll just write a little podcasting app, which is nice to know that if I develop that for the Metro's thing for my PC, that it can be put into the Windows Store that is also immediately available on Surface tablets and Windows 8 phones, which is nice because that means that you are writing things one place and it can be used everywhere. That's one of the things that really annoys me is the fragmentation of mobile and desktop lately, right? When people text me and I can't text them back because they use SMS, so I can only text them back from my phone, where it would have been so much easier for me to use my keyboard because I'm right at my computer. Or, you know, somebody, I don't know, somebody sends me an email that I don't get somewhere. I don't know. The point is that there's a fragmentation between, oh, I know a good example. It's like, let's say I play Words with Friends on my phone. Well, now I want to play it on my computer. I want to play that same game on my computer, and I can't do that because it's only available in this arena or it's only available in that arena. So I think this is actually going to go quite a long ways to bridging that gap. And one of the biggest killer things, which I mentioned last show, I know I'm repeating myself, but one of the biggest killer things about this new, the Windows RT, that they've Windows 8 RT on these tablets, is it's got Microsoft Office built in. That's huge. It's absolutely huge for project managers at my company to be able to have a $400 and $500 tablet instead of a $1,500 PC that they can take in with them into a meeting, and they can still get to all their stuff that they need to get to in Microsoft Office and maybe create some general documents or whatever. Because salespeople and project managers like that aren't sitting there writing a bunch of huge things in Microsoft Word. They're basically just doing little stupid reports. So, I mean, that's a huge thing in the enterprise. And I think that's what everyone is overlooking, is that when we think about computers, we tend to think about home computing, the home computing market. But the home computing market is a tiny fragment of the computer market. The business computers are huge. So,
yeah, I am going to upgrade, but I'm going to do it slowly. And you know, the real thing is, though, I don't think there's anything that if I'm able to run it on Windows 7, I should be able to run it on Windows 8. Even if it's not a Metro app or whatever, desktop version, I will be able to run it. So I don't even have to think about that. I can just take my time. And it's a lot cheaper now. It's only $40.
It's like or $68 if you don't have an upgrade path. I mean, if you go out and buy Windows 8 Pro, it's $68-something.
Most people do have an upgrade path. I mean, most people have Windows.
I was pricing Windows 8 Pro. I wasn't even and I'm an MSDN subscriber, so mine was free anyway. But what I was going to say, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, what I was going to say, that was why I was late to the show today, is because I've been running Windows 8 here, and right before the show, when I was getting everything set, I was like, oh, crap, I don't have Edcast, which is how we stream out to Pride 48. I don't have that set up, so I had to flip back over to the other hard drives, and they're not SSD drives, so it took a long time to boot, and it was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to have to recalibrate myself, and I was like, and so it just took forever.
Well, you could just put Edcast on Windows 8 instead of having to switch back over.
Edcast is no longer available anywhere, the version that we use, and so I had to copy it off of this hard drive in order to put it over there, and I was like, if I'm going to reboot into this, I might as well just stay there and go off of it.
I have it if you ever need it. I have it in my Dropbox.
This is my bad. I waited until 5 minutes before the show to do it. So there you go. There's the lovely Windows 8 thing there behind you.
Yes, it is.
The Metro interface. I noticed that you have gone for the wide rectangles on everything.
No, well, this isn't my desktop. This is a picture I found.
One of the things I am noticing that annoys me on some of the tiles is that it's apparently using the little 16x16 icons if it can't find anything else, and they look really jagged and ugly. Like Visual Studio has a really ugly icon on its tile. I'm like, why that you're a Microsoft product? Why do you have an ugly icon on your tile? SQL Manager has a bad icon. It's like, whatever. However, here's a nice thing. TuneIn Radio is a free app for Windows 8. If you upgrade any of your devices to Windows 8 or get a new device as Windows 8, TuneIn Radio is available right in the Microsoft Store. It's free. And Pride 48 is available on TuneIn Radio. You just launch TuneIn Radio, type in Pride 48, and you will find our station, and you can stream it right there in the background. And you can actually save that tile on your desktop. So that way, right from your Metro desktop there, you can click on Pride 48, and it'll immediately start streaming. Amazing.
So anyway, I'm excited about Windows 8, and I don't have the money to buy a Surface, but I think they're really nice looking. And
I am going to buy a Surface I guess I shouldn't say this with my husband in the chat room, but yes, I'm my next purchase will be a Surface. So,
but I think I'm really excited about it, and I hope that people give it a chance and not just be like, oh no, we're just going to buy iPads, or oh no, we're just going to get. I hope people give it a chance. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so a question from the chat room here. SBA Matt is leaving, but he says, why did I come back to WoW after swearing not to? I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not playing WoW.
I did see that someone saw you on WoW.
If someone sees me logged into WoW, that is a hacked account that I have nothing to do with. So you should report them. Someone here, I tried the Metro. I'm not used to it. The tiles seem like going backwards in design. You know what? That was a question or a comment written by Gravitas in our chat room there. I didn't like Windows 8 the first hour or two that I was using it, because in order to bring up the side menus, you have to put your mouse down into the lower right corner or the upper left corner in order to activate certain things. Well, I run dual monitors. So when I try to put my mouse in the bottom right-hand corner, it slides over to the other monitor. When I try to put it in the top left-hand corner, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I was having all kinds of problems with that until I found there's an article on Lifehacker about keyboard shortcuts for Windows 8 that I now swear by. So it's combinations of the Windows key and another, you know, the letters right up in front of it, like the A and the Q and the whatnot. And it works a whole lot nicer, because that way to bounce back and forth between the desktop and the Metro, you just tap the Windows key and you just bounce right back and forth between them. So, and then just like you used to be able to go between applications by alt tabbing between active applications, in Metro you do window tab. So if you do window tab, you can tab between all your open Metro applications. So that's actually a nice thing. So once I found the keyboard shortcuts, my life was a lot happier, a lot nicer. If you have a new computer that's touch enabled, though, obviously that's the way they want you to go. But there you go.
Yes.
And there you go. Anything else in TechStuff? Are you excited about Windows 8 phone, or you're not excited?
Well, I would be, except that I am now only about 8 months in to my Windows 7, and it will not be upgrading. It will not be upgrading to the new version. So, so I can't really get too excited. I mean, this is the current phone that I've got, and it still works very well. So the only problem is finding apps that are, I want to play games. Mark and I have been playing games with each other, and so finding things that are available both on Windows and on an iPhone, which is what he's got now, we can play Word Feud, and that's about all we found so far. But no, I'm still loving my phone, so, you know, I'm excited about, you know, all the changes that they're going to announce, but I can't get it, and I can't really justify spending the money on a new one right now, you know.
Well, there you go.
Break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, chart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, crack it, drop it, zip and zip it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, chart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it.
The news. You know what? It takes longer and longer for you to play that stinger every week. What the
fuck? Just don't draw attention to the fact that I just, you know, leave it alone. I could have edited that, and then you couldn't.
We were fading a piece of music playing on my track to a piece of music playing on your track. How are we going to fix that?
Well, because I'll get the music fading on your track, and I can just put the news thing back in. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So the 10 spookiest destinations for Halloween. Just wanted to read a couple of Halloween lists. I will start at number 10.
Was one of them the Fat Cave?
No.
Oh.
So number 10 is Moscow, Russia. It says
that's a spooky place.
Well, it says the ancient city of Moscow lends itself to somber legends and centuries-old spirits. Here, visitors can walk with diggers down into the cryptic underground planet. The seemingly endless underground network of tunnels, blah, blah, blah. Transylvania, Romania is number 9. Paris.
Transylvania, Romania.
Yeah, I don't know why this one's scary, but Pennsylvania.
Well, that's because that's where Dracula. That's where.
Sorry, not that one. The next one. Number 8, Paris, France.
Paris, France, the spookiest place to be.
Because there are catacombs.
But only if you're a Republican.
Right. There are catacombs, apparently. They're Bermuda Triangle, but you won't come back.
You know, I used to live in Florida, right outside of the Bermuda Triangle. That's such a load of crap.
And number six, I don't know if this is spooky, but I would like to go there if some of the porns that I have seen or any indication of what the guys look like in this place.
Yes.
Prague in the Czech Republic. There's a lovely porn called An American in Prague. I highly recommend it. Anyway, number five, Edinburgh, Scotland.
Edinburgh. You know what? I had a friend from Edinburgh. He was quite scary. So
I have been there. They have castles. Let's see. Number four, Sleepy Hollow, New York.
Ooh, you know, that is, I could maybe make a road trip there. I had not thought about that. You know, that's where Ichabod Crane used to, the Headless Horseman was. So let's see, where is that? Sleepy Hollow.
We could send you out on a remote.
I could go out and it'd be a nice tax write-off.
Right.
Tax write-off. Let's see, how would I get to Sleepy Hollow from home, which would be here in New Haven? That would be a 1 hour and 23 minute drive from here. So not even that far. So 1 hour and 23 minutes from here, I could go there. That would be exciting.
It would. I would actually enjoy that trip. So the next one is number
three.
You
could come and visit. You could come and visit and we could go to Sleepy Hollow together.
Well, then it would be too late. Shit.
Well, I would spook you all the time, I would imagine.
Maybe. Do you think they sell, like, they have, like, shops that are all about the legend of Sleepy Hollow?
No, they probably don't. You know what? That would be a great business idea. We could go there and open one of those shops because no one's thought of that.
Exactly. number three is New Orleans, Louisiana.
New Orleans. You know what? Gravitas must be psychic. He just asked in the chat rooms. And I said, New Orleans isn't listed. There you go. New Orleans, number three.
So this is because of the voodoo shops and the wickedly cryptic tales of Marie Laveau, the queen of voodoo. And there's actually a Marie Laveau's, there's a shop. I've been there. There's a shop where you can buy.
I thought that New Orleans was scary because of their pralines.
Could be. I don't know. I thought it was scary. I went one year during Mardi Gras, and if you walk in the French Quarter down Bourbon Street during that period of time, during Mardi Gras, you cannot, there are people so close to you, there's no room at all. It's just, it's scary to me. Number two, Salem, Massachusetts.
Hey, you know, another road trip. I'm very close to Salem, Massachusetts. And in fact, we thought about going there when my sister was visiting. So let's see, so to go to Salem, Massachusetts from here would be, let's see, directions from home. Is it another, maybe we could go, you should come up here and we'll go on a spooky trip. It would be 3 hours from here. So 2 hours and 54 minutes from here.
I don't want to be burned at the stake, but maybe
but
they
Boston,
don't do that.
Boston
anymore.
Is really cool. And it's right outside of Boston. So, Boston is cool. So we could make a day trip, go to Boston, hang around Boston, and then the next day go to Salem.
I wonder if they have hay rides in Salem.
They have hay rides here. Hail rides. They have hay rides here. Wow. All right. So what was that? That was number two? Was that number two?
That was number two.
And number one,
see,
if we had any kind of production value whatsoever,
one.
Being nominated as the greatest produced broadcast and whatever, we have no.
We don't. I mean, I think I have a drum roll.
I can't.
Really.
Number one is
Hollywood, California.
Hollywood.
I would have put like Salem or Sleepy Hollow or something like that as number one.
Is Hollywood, California the number one spooky place because Vera Charles works there?
I don't know. It says the city of Hollywood is so glamorous that even spirits have a hard time leaving it behind. In fact, Marilyn Monroe and Montgomery Cliff are just two of the many ghosts rumored to dwell in the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go. And just another list here really quickly. I'll give you the top 10 as seen on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh,
scary
really?
Movies.
Really?
Horror
really?
Movies.
Really?
Yeah. Quickly,
right.
though. Number
God.
10,
God.
Them.
Yes.
Never heard of it. Number 9, Vampire, Der Traum des Alan Gray. It's a 1931 movie. Number 8, The Invisible Man. 7, Spoorless. Number 6, Das Kabinett. What? Das Kabinett de Dr. Caligari. Number 5 is The Bride of Frankenstein.
Jesus, this is riveting.
Number 4 is Frankenstein. Number 3 is Repulsion.
You know, the conversation in the chat room about leather bars in New Orleans is far more interesting than your list of horror films.
It's funny how the chat room deviates from what...
That's because they're bored. You should take a hint.
Number 2 is The Evil Dead. And number 1 is Aliens. See, and I don't know why those are... Anyway, I would have said Psycho.
Okay, great. Move on.
So the news story that I've got here, A 50-year-old New Hampshire woman who once worked as a deputy sheriff and a corrections officer hit a robber with her walker when he broke into her home on Sunday, the New Hampshire union leader reported. Candace Neal told the union leader she needs the walker to get around because she became disabled about a year ago due to back problems.
Maybe we should get my dad a walker. That'd be awesome. He could hit people over the head with it and everything. So is she still a police officer?
I don't think she's. Yes, a police officer with a walker. Can you imagine being pulled over and the police officer is like, you know, what do you call it? Like walking with this. There's right. A word for it. She's.
Well, no, it's more than that. They've got those little things on top of their car that you have to wait for. It's like. Just like lower the walker down to the like they do with the wheelchairs and stuff.
And the walker has to have tennis balls on the bottom of the feet. I don't even know what that's for.
That's but to, it has to give them more traction, give them more surface area.
It has to have the tennis balls on the bottom. Anyway, she says, my girlfriend, so this is a lesbian, my girlfriend tried to get in the middle of him and he punched her and threw her away. Then I fell back on the bed and held my walker up, and then I started hitting him with it, particularly trying to hit the knife.
Excellent.
So anyway, there you go. So,
don't break in New Hampshire. You'll get hit by a walker.
Yes. It's your birthday. All right, now, yes. On these birthdays, I tried to have them all tie in with something that could be Halloween related.
Excellent. Betty
now,
White.
For some of them, it's a stretch, and these are hard. I'm going to have to tell you, these are difficult
these
birthdays.
These are hard. Stop it.
But,
stop
but
it.
Here is the
stop
first
it. This
one.
Is hard. Is this a sci-fi show?
Yeah, it's a sci-fi movie.
Is this E.T.?
No. It's got... It's a... Well, I don't know how to... It's a Steven Spielberg film, which E.T. also is, so that doesn't really tell you much.
The chat room is saying Back to the Future. Is that it? Back to the Future?
Yes, it is Back to the okay. Future.
Back to the Future. It's not, well, it's not Michael J. Fox, because you would have played the theme to Family Ties.
It is not Michael J. Fox.
So it must be Christopher Lloyd.
It is Christopher Lloyd.
Excellent. Happy birthday, Christopher.
Yeah,
Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd is, I don't know, he's some age. I've lost my spreadsheet. Christopher Lloyd had
we
a birthday.
We gotta go back, Marty. We gotta go back to the spreadsheet.
He's 70-something.
He was best known as his role in Star Trek as a Klingon.
Well, you know, he was in Taxi.
No.
I think. Wasn't he in Taxi?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He was best known for Star Trek.
Okay, best known for Star Trek, Christopher Lloyd. Happy birthday to you. All right, here's the next one. I will say this is an author just so that you, I don't know, just so that you have a little.
So I have a sporting chance. All right, go for it.
Well, okay, here it is. Good.
It's Michael Crichton.
It is. This is Jurassic Park.
I knew that. This is the theme to Jurassic Park. The book Jurassic Park was written by Michael Crichton.
Yeah, so Michael Crichton is dead, but Jurassic Park was kind of Halloween-y, so there you go.
There you go.
Happy birthday. And again,
nothing says Halloween like Jurassic Park.
My spreadsheet is gone. It's not open. I don't know what happened to it. So here's the next one.
This would be the Addams Family.
It is, yep.
Now, was this the movie version or was this the television version?
This is the television. Well, this is. I think this is the movie theme, but the right. Actor is.
The actor is from the television, and I don't know any of the actors' names from the television. So, unless it's Eddie Munster, in which case I think his name is Eddie Munster.
No, well, what? No. So you can just tell me. You can tell me the
was
character's
it, was it,
name.
Was it Morticia?
It was a guy.
It was Lurch.
No.
It was Thing.
No.
It was Cousin It.
No.
It was Uncle Fester.
Yes.
Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester, he is dead, but how, I mean, this is a very Halloween-y person. He even looked really spooky on the show. Anyway, Uncle Fester.
Hey, any idea who played Uncle Fester in the movie?
I don't think I even saw that movie, so.
Great. All right, move on.
So anyway, Uncle Fester, his name is Jackie Coogan.
Uh-huh.
And he would have been 98 years old.
Someone's going to look that up in the chat.
What? Who played him in the movie?
If I'm right, then it would be funny. Ah, indeed, I am right. So go ahead, chat room. Figure out who played Uncle Fester in the movie. You'll get a nice little chuckle. All right, go ahead. Move on. Next.
All right, so here's the next one. And if you know it after I play this theme, don't say who it is yet, because I'm going to...
I do.
Okay, you know what this theme is.
Yes,
okay.
I do know what that theme song
so
is.
So this person was also... The tie-in with Halloween for me is this person was also in this other movie.
Yes.
That I'm going to play.
That is Harry Potter.
Yes, it is.
So let's see. He was in Monty Python and he was in Harry Potter.
That is correct.
That is interesting. I was not aware that any of the Monty Python alum were in Harry Potter. Well, it wasn't John Cleese. It was?
Yes.
When was John Cleese in Harry Potter?
So John Cleese was in the first two Harry Potter movies. He played nearly headless...
Ah,
Nick,
you're correct.
I
had completely forgotten about that.
And it was a guy that was like carrying his head around.
Yes.
Yes. So anyway, there you go. So John Cleese is 73 years old.
73 years old. Excellent. Is that it?
No, one more.
One more.
So this one.
By the way, have you figured out who played Uncle Fester in the movie of the Addams Family?
I thought the chat room was trying to figure that out.
Nah, they'll never figure it out. It was Christopher Lloyd.
Oh.
Anyway, go ahead.
All right.
Oh, God. This is the theme to Designing Women.
Okay. All right. Yes. So now here's the Halloween tie-in for this actress.
It's Betty White.
I'll tell you. No. Betty White was... Okay. This is the Halloween tie-in for this actress.
Yes. So they were in Designing Women and in Ghostbusters.
That is correct, sir.
Let's see. Who would have been in Ghostbusters? So... Oh, it was, what's her name? And Annie Potts?
It was, yes.
Annie Potts.
Annie Potts. She played, I believe, the secretary in the Ghostbusters movie.
She did. I had forgotten about that. But yes, you were correct. And so happy birthday to each and every one of our birthday folks, you know, and I'm sure I got nothing.
Yep.
It's your birthday.
Excellent. contact. You know, you can call us at any point in time that you would like to. You don't have to have a celebrity die or anything like that. You can call us at 229-234-7587, which I'm sure just we have tons and tons of phone calls, don't we?
No.
Okay, no phone calls this week.
No, no phone calls at all.
No phone calls whatsoever. Well, we do have a couple of emails here. Let's trudge through them, shall we? This one comes in from Carrie, formerly of Germany. Who writes, in the last few weeks of podcast stalking you guys, I've noticed something that both you say that makes me laugh. Adam, I'm not going to say anything more, but I will say.
Okay.
So apparently you say that. Daniel says, I can't say anymore, but I will say. And that would be me. And then I guess both of us say, are you going to stay or aren't you going to stay? So there you go.
Didn't she say more than that?
She did, but I'm just saying, did you have any comments about the things that you say?
No, well, I say apparently a lot. And
I can't say anymore, but I will say.
I can't say, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what she said.
See, that was the joke was you were supposed to use your phrase.
I know now.
All right, back to her letter. In other news, I'm up to episode 15, and I've learned how Daniel made his way to Connecticut, but I'm still trying to figure out how Stephen made his way up there. You know, spoiler alerts, I can't tell you. Can't tell you how Stephen made his way. When you get there, you'll be surprised.
I think there was a car involved.
There was. He drove here. My new question is, what your outro means. Who are these people you say goodnight to? Aha, I would explain this. You know, at the end of each show, we say goodnight, Chet, goodnight, David. It is, I think we did explain that on a show when we first started doing it.
You know, funnily enough, Carrie, he had to explain that to me.
Yes.
And I believe that was on a show at some point.
It was. You'll get there. You'll get there. Let's just say it's of historical significance. Also, I'm trying to get Live It Up to listen to, but I can't find it with the player I use to listen to podcasts. That's because you have an exceptionally good podcast listener, player that refuses to play crap. I have an Android. Oh, there you go. That must be why. And something using DoubleTwist to find and listen to podcasts. Is there something better or another way to find and listen to Live It Up? No, there isn't. You shouldn't listen to Live It Up. It's a substandard show that...
You should be able to find Live It Up on DoubleTwist, I would think.
I don't use DoubleTwist. I use PodKicker, which is... I'm also an Android. PodKicker, the greatest podcast player for Android, in my humble opinion. But you can find Live It Up at liveitupthepodcast.com. Their feed is feeds.feedburner.com/liveitupthepodcast. All one word, Live It Up the Podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure that DoubleTwist, it's similar to iTunes, so I'm sure you could actually put in the actual feed address and
yes.
and get it that way.
Right, which I just said, which
right.
is feeds.feedburner.com. So there
live
you go.
You
can also go to his website, liveitupthepodcast.com. Someone in the chat room, I believe Robert, says that I said the phone number too fast. Are you actually going to call our phone number, Robert? It's 229-234-7587 or 2x2 DI+.
So yes, it is, as a matter of fact.
The number two, the word by, B-Y, the number two, so 2x2, and then the words D-I-P-L-U-S. See, what? Who were you answering? What? What were you just answering?
Who, me?
Yes.
I wasn't answering anything.
I thought you just said something that made no sense. All right, let's move on to our next email, shall we?
All righty.
The best produced podcast.
I'm going to read it because this
Please
was
do,
to me.
Because it starts off by saying, hello, Adam.
Hello, Adam. Just a quick note to let you know that I recently found your show on iTunes and have enjoyed every one that I've listened to. The Pride 48 live show rocked.
Yay!
Hope that your central air is now working. Yes, but it's cold here now, so.
Right.
You and Daniel make a great podcast team. I would
But Daniel
that.
Is a lot better than you. Wow, you really didn't have to say that, Michael.
He didn't. Oh, yeah. Oh. I'll never make fun of you wearing a hat or anything else that either you or Daniel might be wearing. This is because it is all about the voice and also because I'm blind.
Oh.
Best wishes for continued success, Michael.
Now, why did I say ah? That wasn't
I don't know. Where, you know, that's okay.
You know, see? There you go. This is why we shouldn't constantly reference the things that we're doing on the video. We are an audio show, sir. That is what we do. We do audio.
We do audio. That is true. Well, we don't
so the
do
video,
not, but now.
I heard Leo the other day on This Week in Google say something about the number of listeners that, you know, oh, we still have a lot more people that listen on audio than video, surprisingly. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean surprisingly? Audio is a great format. Audio means you can listen to it while you're driving. You can listen to it while you're cleaning the house. You can listen to it while you're doing other things. Video demands that you sit down and pay attention. So that's why I don't want to do video, sir.
Well, you know, and we do have people who watch the video. When I go over to YouTube, there are, I mean, it's a much smaller number than the audio
nope,
downloads.
Nope. They will not see any more of me. I have become dark.
But we do have, anyway, so we have a breaking news here. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
We have a voicemail. Oh, by the way, I did find, you know, your little, the thing that you do on.
Can you say or like one more time in that sentence? Because I think that would make it the perfect amount of
Well, I'm doing that for Auntie Vera. Carrie, there is another thing that I say a lot is and like.
Yes. All right. So like, what do you found a thing that I like?
I found
an app
basically a replica of what you use.
You're holding it to the wrong camera.
Yes, I know. It's exactly, it even has the same sound effects.
Yes.
It's really nice that one of those buttons is green, and so it's showing.
Yes. I know.
But it has, like, all of the sound effects that you play.
Where did you find this app? In the store?
Yeah, it's a Windows Phone app in the Windows Phone store.
Well, I can look now that I have Windows 8, I can look in the Windows Store.
Oh, that's true. You know what? It's called Sound for Fun.
Which is
called.
What the website was called, too.
So here is our voicemail that we have.
Our voicemail that just came in.
Hello, this is Larry Osmanski Sledge. Happy Halloween, and I'm enjoying the show. Goodbye.
Wow. You know what? That's amazing because there's someone in our chat room named Q-Sledge. That is, what are the chances that we would get a phone call from someone named Q-Sledge? And that there would be somebody in the chat room named Q-Sledge.
It's very coincidental.
I have been checking my email, my physical mailbox every single day, waiting for my Perry the Platypus jack-o'-lantern to show up here. Because I'm sure that when Larry posted on his Google Plus page, Larry, a.k.a. Q-Sledge, just called in. I'm sure when he posted on his Google Plus page the awesome jack-o'-lantern that he made that had Perry the Platypus on it, that he wasn't just dangling that in front of me and going like, ha-ha, look at what I can do that you'll never, ever get. Ha-ha, isn't that funny? No, see, I'm sure that he wouldn't have done that to me because that just would have been cruel. I'm sure it just hasn't arrived here yet. So I'm checking daily to make sure that that I don't miss the postman when he arrives with my Perry the Platypus jack-o'-lantern that I will proudly display on Halloween 2 days from now.
Well, I have to go pick up Mark from the airport, so...
Excellent. No, well, that was later. Fun. Mark from the airport, that's because he's flying away from the Frankenstorm.
Did we have any other content?
No, that was it. That's all we had.
3, 2, 1!
Excellent. Lasers, that snuck up on me.
Well, I had to do it because normally you're like, hey, why don't you play the ending to our contact section? So I wanted to get that in.
You know, so the Frankenstorm thing that Mittens left New York for, that now they're concerned, you know, that we've closed my office tomorrow. You've heard that breaking news. My office is closed tomorrow. But now they're talking about there may be some snow over near our manager's house, Joey L. Bohucker. We might get some snow over there. And it's just weird. It's like this whole Frankenstorm is really thing. It's going to turn all of Western New York into like some barren wasteland full of ice and snow. And there will be absolutely no living things moving around there except maybe 7 old Eskimos. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus, 229-234-7587, or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. Of course, you can always head to our website, dubiousintent.com. Hey, by the way, you know what, Michael? I would be curious to know, as a programmer and a web app guy, I would be curious to know, how is the Dubious Intent website work? For your reader stuff, does it work well for the web reader stuff that you might be using from an accessibility standpoint?
Oh,
how
there
is
no accessibility. How would I have any idea about?
But you know what? When I'm redoing the Pride 48 site, I would like to take that into account. I would like to make sure that it works well with those screen readers that are available out there. So anyway, Michael, if you're still listening, let me know. Send me an email. Let me know. There you go.
By the way, the show was late last week because of Daniel.
Good night, chat.
Good night, David.